Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. I have our dear friend and brother, Daniel Seckham, live on the air. I'm noticing there are no wrinkles, no shadows, no tiredness, because it's daytime. Good afternoon, Daniel. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. I'm alert and sprightly.
You are sprightly. I love that sprightly word. Hey, what's going on in Australia? I heard a friend contacted me yesterday and said, man, Australia's really going through it right now. What's happening out there?
Depends what you're talking about. There's lots of stuff that's going on.
Okay.
Lots of heavy-handed, draconian. Lockdown laws in different parts of Australia. It was in Victoria, but we're now seeing it shift to South Australia. But yeah, there's a lot of heavy-handed lockdown procedures that's going on.
Okay.
I think the most concerning thing that's going on here in Australia is the belligerence of China. China has put massive tariffs upon our wine. They're not receiving any of our coal. They're really playing hardball with us. In fact, other countries are pointing at us in Australia and saying, listen, Australia is an example of what happens when with an out of control China. Like, if you don't rein in China, Australia is an example of what can happen. So that's what's actually happening with us at the moment. China is playing hardball with us.
Wow. Okay. So, and how do you feel that directly? How does the economy feel about that? I mean, your society.
Our economy is definitely feeling the pinch. We're in a recession right now. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely feeling the pinch. And there's no really way. It's tricky navigating our way out of this, because we have to renegotiate trade deals. I know that there is a major campaign here in Australia at the moment in regard to avoiding buying anything made in China.
Okay.
So there are lots of campaigns that we're seeing, especially on social media, where people are going out of their way, especially for Christmas coming up, people are going out of their way not to spend money on Chinese goods, which I think is good. I think it's a good move. We're trying to decouple our economy from China, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all, considering how much of the Chinese manufacturing and Chinese goods that we have sitting on our shelves. It's as it is in America as well. So what is encouraging is that I've noticed that a lot of these department stores that used to sell 90% Chinese stuff, I've noticed more made in India, more made in Pakistan signs, which like labels, which is encouraging. So, but we're still a long way from an economic recovery here in Australia. But I think I don't really see any optimistic signs that things are going to get better. As much as I really would like to see that, I just think that things are just going to go are getting worse for us here. All except outside of a national call to repentance. If Australia repents and turns away from our wicked ways, we can see a turnaround. But I see the divine hand of God that is lifting off our nation. And the enemy basically now has free rein to wreak havoc.
Hey,
Would
you, for people that may be listening to the first time or they haven't heard a term like draconian, methods, describe what draconian methods are and how what that looks like, and describe how you see that going on, not just nationally in Australia, but globally.
Oh, it's just pure old fashioned brute. What's another word I'm looking for? Archaic, like really kind of. How can I put it in a way that just really brute force that you would expect to see in a third world country? That's what I guess I'm trying to say.
Okay, so in the definition it says of laws or their application excessively harsh and severe, the Nazis destroyed the independence of the press by a series of draconian laws. So harsh laws. And that's what you're referring to. So draconian ways are harsh tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the right way of putting it. Yeah.
Good. Okay. And you're seeing that in Australia right now. And China is the one that's using those tactics. And what other draconian methods are you witnessing across the nations?
Well, there are a number of different things. What I do think is interesting is that small businesses are getting smashed.
Right.
Small businesses are getting absolutely hammered. Some of them are closing their doors and it looks like never to be reopened again, which is really, really sad. One of the other things too is that and this is a disturbing trend that I've seen happening all over the West, is that the lockdowns have actually caused the birth rates to plummet. You would think it would be the opposite.
Yeah.
would think it would be the opposite, but it's not actually. There is a sharp decrease in birth rates that we've noticed throughout the course of this year, which some organizations, government departments have picked up on. So there's that. There is the plummeting mental health. Mental health is a big one. And this is what I mean, Cammie and I, we have our favorite cafe, which isn't too far from where we live. And the cafe owner, probably about 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago, committed suicide.
Oh, Jesus.
So I've never heard of anyone that I know of that has died from COVID, but I know of examples of people who have committed suicide because of the lockdowns.
Right.
I think we're talking about where the cure is far, the so-called cure is far worse than the so-called disease. I'm talking about the treatment. What's the word I'm looking for? But the treatment is far more dangerous than the actual disease. And I think it's so ironic, Vincent, because you look at Sweden, they have not implemented any lockdowns, and they've done they've fared relatively well. And the press, the media, does not like to talk about Sweden. In fact, there's a complete media blackout on Sweden, which makes you want to ask questions. So, and also too, there was a study released by the Johns Hopkins University, yet was quickly retracted because of the because it controversially showed that there was hardly any deaths associated with COVID-19. So people need to understand that when you look at the people behind the Great Reset, the globalists, the ones who have controlling interests, those who have a lot to gain, these are the people that are really, really pushing the narrative. These are the ones who are pushing the lockdowns. These are the ones, look at the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization came out and said that even once we actually get the vaccine, it doesn't mean that lockdowns will come to an end. So in other words, they are trying to prolong the chaos for as long as they possibly can, because to the socialist, to the communist, to the leftist, chaos absolutely crucial for their agenda, because revolution is impossible outside of chaos. They have to have chaos, and if they want to bring societal change, significant societal change, then they have to have circumstances of instability. They have to have instability. They have to have an atmosphere of fear, because then they can actually bring about control, and that's exactly what they want. I think it was a man called Manchin who actually said, here it is. He said, H.L. Mencken, he said, the urge to save humanity is almost always a false front for the urge to rule. Let me read that again. The urge to save humanity is almost always a false front for the urge to rule. And I think, yep, absolutely. Absolutely. These people do have an agenda. F.A. Hayek, the man who wrote the book, The Road to Serfdom, he says, emergencies have always been the pretext on which the safeguards of individual liberty have been eroded.
Amazing. Okay. I want to ask you a question. Right now in Africa, there are human rights advocates. Okay, I'm just going to hit you with two or three things right now. We're going to put this together. Human rights advocates are sounding the alarm on Christian genocide going on and unfolding in Africa as we speak. Muslim terror groups are launching attacks across several African nations. Foremost is Nigeria, which we know has been going on for a long time. And where tens of thousands of Christians have died as part of what human rights activists call a Christian genocide across the continent. So we have a genocide going on of Christian persecution in Africa. What's going on in Australia, the draconian measures. We're seeing in the United States issues going on. We just read about Belgium. Okay, they're going to be knocking on doors this Christmas season because they don't want any gatherings in Belgium. It's going to be a very hard thing to deal with. We just read three reports, Daniel. One of them is about the great relocation that is coming because millions of Americans are about to be evicted, and there are billions of dollars that have been stifled, so to speak, because the renters, because of a CDC agenda, the renters could not be evicted, but now it's payday. And there are billions of dollars that people haven't got, the landlords. And so they're expecting in the next 2 months evictions, millions and millions of people no longer having a place to stay. And, you know, we're looking at these measures. And then, of course, the vaccinations and how, you know, the time for vaccinations moving forward in the earth. They want everybody vaccinated. So we see this kind of turmoil. And then just one minor note, and then I'll release it again. Attorney General Barr is saying that there is no cause for, there's no evidence that there's been fraud that will overturn the election. So I'm putting all these pieces together. You're talking about the globalist agenda, and you're talking Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. You're talking about all the left, and including entire United Nations. You're seeing the draconian measures of government getting stronger and stronger. Vaccinations that will come, strains of viruses that will get stronger that will force people basically to get these digitized vaccinations. And millions of people may be going homeless, and Jesus prayed that your flight be not in the winter. How do you put all this together and look at this through a biblical lens? What do you see happening?
I just see, you know what? I'm getting a little excited. And that sounds weird.
Right. I know.
It sounds weird, but I mean, it's like the world is falling apart, yet I know that when things seem like they're falling apart, things are actually falling into place.
Okay.
This is the attitude of the Christian. This is the attitude of the believer. The believer has to have an attitude that when they see these things, they know that the Lord is at the door.
Amen. Amen.
And he is. He absolutely is. So regarding where do I begin? I mean, I suppose I could begin with vaccines. Is the vaccine the mark of the beast? I would say no, not per se. I would say that the vaccine is a small part that would open the door to something bigger, which could be the mark of the beast. And I believe that. Keep in mind the whole passport thing. There is a passport thing that the globalists are talking about, and this passport will basically be a passport thing that will have all your financial information, all your vaccination information, all of your medical history, everything, Medicare, Social Security will all be on one passport per se. Now, considering that Klaus Schwab, let me see if I can find it. But you might remember last week, Vincent, when we talked about how Klaus Schwab talked about having a fusion. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Let me bring up this article for you because I think it's very pertinent in regard to what we're talking about. So Klaus Schwab, he says the Great Reset will lead to a fusion of our physical, digital, and our biological identity. Isn't that interesting?
Amazing.
So he says this, globalist Klaus Schwab made it clear that transhumanism is an integral part of the Great Reset when he said that the fourth industrial revolution will lead to a fusion of our physical, right, digital and biological identity, in which in his book he clarifies is an implantable microchips that can read your thoughts. Now that seems like vastly conspiratorial sensationalism, but just hear me out. Just let me read further. It goes on to say, as we highlighted earlier, the Great Reset is attracting a deluge of fresh attention in the aftermath of the coronavirus pandemic, which Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said was an opportunity for a reset. In fact, I have the video of Justin Trudeau saying that very thing on my Israel, Islam, and End Times Facebook page. If you go to the videos, you can see him saying it. Also on the Cultural War Resource Facebook page. It says the agenda is primarily based around the dismantling of current capitalist system in favor of greater centralized technocrat rule, which will lead to lower living standards, less fuel consumption, fewer civil liberties, and accelerated automation of jobs. So he says that, however, another key aspect to the Great Reset, or the fourth industrial revolution, as Schwab calls it, is merging man with machine. He says, what the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity, Schwab told the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. So he then went on to say that In the book, Schwab explains with excitement how upcoming technology will allow authorities to intrude into the hitherto private space of our minds, reading our thoughts and influencing our behavior. It seems like a complete science fiction film, like a dystopian science fiction horror movie. But this is what these elites are up to. Now, these elites, this is not conspiratorial for a start. This is what these people are saying out in the open. Okay? So Klaus Schwab is the head of an organization called the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is a huge, it's the world's largest think tank. The world's largest think tank. It has enormous influence. Okay, so some of the people who frequent the World Economic Forum include Bill Gates, George Soros, including others like, you know, Prince Charles. And then, of course, you've got the Hollywood elite such as DiCaprio, Leonardo DiCaprio, and all those, you know, all their ilk, including, what's the name of the, Greta Thunberg and all the, Al Gore is another one. All these globalists converge upon Davos every year, and they discuss how they basically, it's about taking away the rights and the liberty and the self-determination from the middle class and shifting all that to the elites. Because the elites want to own and control everything. In fact, if you actually look at one of the videos, promo videos put out by Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum, in speaking about the Great Reset, they say, you will own nothing but be completely happy. You know about this. You've seen this?
Mm.
Yep. It says, you will own nothing, but you'll be happy.
Yeah.
Right? You know what that is? Mm. It's communism.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
It's communism. And what was it that Karl Marx said? He said the first prerequisite prerequisite is the abolition of private property. The abolition of private property. That's exactly what he said. In fact, let's see if I can find it.
And that's, you know, while you're looking into that, that is the question that every person that's tuning into this broadcast right now needs to listen to and ask themselves, when the world is going in this direction, and the Bible says it absolutely will, it's just a timing thing.
Yeah.
And if we are witnessing this becoming a reality, where are the believers going to be dwelling during this 3.5 year period of time? Because so many believe we won't be here, but Daniel, we need to really start thinking about come out of her, my people, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. How do people begin to address this issue?
People are completely oblivious, Vincent. They are completely oblivious to what's coming. So many people out there think this whole Great Reset thing is a thing for conspiracy nutters. Yet Time Magazine ran with a huge section on the Great Reset and why we should all look forward to it. It's just like the blindness out there is just incredible. Well, Vincent, Jesus himself said, the very first thing that Jesus said about the signs of the last days was, watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out that no one deceives you. So we are living in the time of, let me put it this way. Daniel also said in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, he says, there will be a great increase. It'll be a time of an increase of great knowledge, an increase of knowledge, and many will go to and fro. So he's talking about the explosion of information that we will have at our fingertips, but also the fact that we are now living in a global village where you can just step on a plane and get off in another country on the other side of the world, right? Mm-hmm. This is the world that we're living in. Now consider the fact that Daniel said that knowledge will increase. Jesus said that it will be a time of great deception. So I just think, so here we've got massive increase of knowledge. where from your phone you can access as much information on your phone from any subject, anything that you want to know, you can actually get on your phone. And there is no information, of course, not nuclear codes, you can't get them, but talking about the vast majority of information in the world, you can access from your phone. Now, but consider the other thing that Jesus said. He said that watch out that no one deceives you, that is saturated with information. He says deception will be rife and people will be deceived left, right, and center. We are swimming in a cesspool of deception, and it's so extremely difficult for people to get a hold of the truth. But yet this is the day that we are living in. We are living in a day of such incredible, it's a paradox, where there is no all the information is available, but the ability to actually get truth is the challenge.
I'm remembering I'm remembering years ago, there was a phrase going around where the elite, quote unquote, were calling the majority of the people useless eaters. And they were talking about a time of population control, and minimizing the population, much easier to control, getting rid of people that are, you know, a drain on the system, 70 years and older, get rid of the elderly people, deal with the prisoners, different aspects of society. And what is concerning to me, and I think it should be concerning to everybody out there, people are begging on Newsmax, Fox News, CNN, all the different places with the talking heads. People are begging for normality. We want to get these vaccinations. We want to get everybody vaccinated. So by next May, they're saying, we want to go back to normal again. And my fear, Daniel, is that what they want to go back to normal is that if things go the way that the globalists want them to go, you get around May next year, April, May next year, there's an awakening, but the people have been so dumbed down. And the algorithms do know what most people are thinking, and there becomes a common thought, the same kind of thinking, like going back to Babylon. They had one speech, they had one language, they had one purpose, and all of a sudden that controllable mind of the mass of humanity, and yet they're like zombies, they're walking zombies. And if you're alerted, if you have your own conscience, if you have your own mind, if you have the mind of Christ, you will stand out, and you will not be going with the algorithm of humanity. And this to me is very concerning and very real, not scientific.
Yeah, absolutely.
The mindless masses, right?
Yep. And you know what's really interesting? It's almost as if the politicians these days are almost powerless to stop what's coming. Let me give you an example. There is an excellent senator here in Australia from Queensland. His name is Malcolm Roberts. He's a senator for an Australian party called One Nation. In fact, they actually did a vote on the Great Reset in Australia. Listen to what he says. Malcolm Roberts says, here is the motion that Matt Canavan and his Liberal National mates votes against. One Nation will always put Australia and Australians first. And on the motion, it says, Mr. President, I give notice that on this day of sitting, I shall move that the Senate notes that adopting the policies of the World Economic Forum's proposed Great Reset will have a devastating impact on the economic well-being and individual freedoms of Australians. And number two, calls on the government to boycott all World Economic Forum events in protest of their Great Reset agenda. Now, the heartbreaking thing about that is that every single one of them voted against that motion. It's just absolutely how do you compute that? You would think that everyone would unite against the agenda that these globalists have, but they all voted for it. They knocked back that motion, and it just goes to show, it just seems unstoppable. But we must remind ourselves, when things seem like they're falling apart, things are actually falling into place.
Amen. And that's hope. And that's knowing that we have built our lives upon the rock, the foundation that Jesus Christ, his words, his teachings, his message, we're standing confidently upon the word of God. And we're navigating through the storm. We're watching what's going on in the world because we're supposed to be paying attention to the signs of the times. So we have this very intense moment on this earth right now. And there's this battle to get through. And yet there are technologies out there that you were just talking about with the technocracy and technology. We are living in a generation that more Bible prophecy has been fulfilled in our generation like no other generation before us, namely Israel being regathered as a nation, the Daniel 12 prophecies you just talked about, and many other prophecies that are showing we are the generation that are approaching that moment in time where the man of sin is about to be revealed. He's going to be cast out of heaven, Revelation 12, onto this earth and begin a great tribulation, having access to all the powers and then making war against everything that is called God and opposing. And we are here as a generation potentially ready to face off with this principality and power. How is the church preparing for this kind of warfare?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not being dramatic, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. Let me read to you what a friend of mine just had this dream. He had this dream. In fact, it was from last night. He said this, and he's an American. He's actually from Louisiana. And he said this. He says, I was in a country that would not arrest. He said, I woke up from a bad dream. He says, in the dream, I was in a country that would not arrest mobs destroying or burning city businesses or government buildings, beating and killing innocent citizens and policemen. These felony criminals are allowed to control city streets without restraint, and no attempt for arrest is made. Just hold it there before I go on. But what is the number one word that comes to your mind as I read that? I'll tell you. Lawlessness.
There you go. Yeah.
Lawlessness, right? It says, at the same time, governors and mayors are arresting business owners for nothing more than opening their businesses to the public. These false arrests are made for trespassing on their own property. Why? Because there are no legislative laws that these dictators are enforcing on the innocent. It doesn't stop there. A pastor was arrested for holding a church service. The freedom and decision to worship was now under the control of the government. This country was not familiar to me. I don't know where I was. I wish this was a dream. This is reality. It is not a conspiracy theory. However, it sure feels like a bad dream. I will mention the word election and see if I get a fact check. If you want to make this about COVID, then why were the rioters not arrested for breaking curfews and gatherings? So many think this is a bad dream. It'll go away in time. I hope you're right, but I think not. Wow. And also, too, I also want to mention my other friend from Long Island, New York, and he had a vision in which the Lord showed him three swords that will come to America. And the first one was a sword of deception, which has pretty much already happened, the sword of deception, a massive delusion going on.
Huge.
The second one was the sword of division, and boy, isn't America divided right now, like you would not believe. Crazy division going on. But he said the third and the final sword was the sword of destruction.
Sword of war.
Mm-hmm. The sword of war. And look, I believe that we are in the eye of the storm. We are in the peaceful little period, but where there's the twister. We've gone through the first barrier of the twister, and now we are looking up through the eye of the storm, and yet the other part is about to hit. And I believe this will hit when, in regard to the legal fight for the Trump's with the election.
Yeah,
I believe that it will go to the Supreme Court, and I believe that the Supreme Court will rule in Trump's favor, and that will trigger. Now, here's the thing. Who is the tiebreaker now? Who is the tiebreaker? The tiebreaker is now Amy Coney Barrett. Okay, we know that John Roberts is compromised. Okay, he is not the conservative justice that he used to be. Something or someone. he's compromised. He votes with the Liberals now. But Amy Coney Barrett is now the one who is the deciding vote. And she will be, the media will portray her that way. So when the time comes for when the Supreme Court will rule and will say that Trump is the legitimate president, and I believe that Amy Coney Barrett will be the deciding vote. It'll be 5-4. I believe that all hell will break loose. I really do. I believe there will be immense rage targeted at Christians, because who does Amy Coney Barrett represent? Well, we know that she's Catholic, but the thing is, to the left, she is just religious, right? She's religious. The dogma lives loudly within her, right? That's what they say. So there will be a huge backlash against churches in regard to this ruling. That's what I suspect.
Absolutely. And what we're doing, there is a trumpet that has sounded. And Daniel, we have to lay this out there for our listeners. We have to talk about this because it is a very critical moment in the world. And if we do not understand how critical it is, we are still lollygagging around, pretending in La La Land and thinking about, you know, wishful thinking of being whisked away and having no problems and everything is okay and this is all going to pass. Beyond that delusion, this is a very critical moment for the church in the earth today, the true ecclesia, and particularly because so much is riding in the United States of America this election. Well, let's lay it out there again. Over 1 year ago, Daniel, you and I have talked about this many times. I had a dream that Joe Biden won the election, and there were still over 20 Democratic people running for the office, and I had the dream. He had the blue suit, the blue tie, but he was walking through a tunnel, and he was dismayed. There was something wrong. He was not celebrating. Well, here we are down the road now, and he's the guy. And we're praying about this, and I'm asking, Lord, what is this? Why did you show me this dream that people called a nightmare? What is this all about? This is very real. I get an answer, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. I look at it, means nothing to me. It's about Solomon building cities and building walls, kind of like what Trump's been doing. The next morning I wake up, the first thing that comes to my mind is, how did Solomon get to the throne? I'm reminded of the 1 Kings chapter 1 story about how Adonijah took it upon himself to make himself the king. And then Nathan and Bathsheba go to David and say, listen, I thought Solomon was supposed to be the king. So in 1 Kings, you have this battle of a man making himself the king, but it's not the true decree. And so David tells them what to do. Put Solomon on my mule, go down to Gihon, anoint him. And so they do that. And then the people rejoice and they shout and they're piping and blowing trumpets that it shakes the earth. And the crowd with Adonijah said, what is that sound? And when they find out it was King David had just ordained Solomon, they were terrified. And so God is saying that we needed to gather together and anoint Donald J. Trump. So Holy Spirit has basically designed December 7th, a couple of days from now, at 3 p.m. East Coast time, synchronize that from East to West Coast, 3 p.m. December 7th, the people gather together at every state capital, 1 million people at every state capital, 50 states, 72 million people voted for Trump at least, and so every person taking a knee at 3 p.m. in humble contrition, confessing our sin for allowing things to get here as the church, because of our lethargy, lukewarmness, compromise, whatever, participation, and then with holy conviction, standing up and saying what it says in 1 Kings, God save Donald J. Trump, and then inaugurate him, ordain him, and anoint him. We, the people of the United States, declare him to be the president. Then, with that shout, a spiritual earthquake will shake Joe Biden out of place and will shake Donald Trump into position. Now, this is the strategy we have right now with one concern. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel chapter 7. The trumpet has blown, but nobody goes out to the battle because the wrath of the Lord is upon this people. Now, Dutch Sheets just came out with something about tonight from 12:30 a.m. to 3 a.m., where there's a whole wave throughout the nation. And I thought, there's at 3 a.m. We're going to go at 3 p.m. on December 7th and shake this continent if the people of God will rally themselves to the state capitals or in their bedroom, their kitchen, their bathroom, their living room at 3 o'clock December 7th and give that confession and then rise up and shout, God save Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States, and then ordain him. So we're going to do this. There's a whole group going up down to Little Rock here in Arkansas, and we're hoping that the word gets out there. This is a prophetic act. Daniel, if we sit back and observe this moment with all the things that are going on and do nothing, how concerning is that?
Massively concerning. This is why I don't get a lot of – there's a lot of Christians out there saying, you need to calm down, stop going on, stop watching the news, stop getting upset about what's happened in the elections. It's like, gosh, if somebody has broken into your house and is threatening to kill your family, would you just calm down? Would you just not take any action? Of course not. The enemy is not outside of the gate. The enemy is inside the gates, right? There is a communist takeover that is taking place. That might seem like hyperbole, right? That might seem like sensationalism, but it is not. When you consider of the nefarious actors that are trying to take down your republic, China, Iran, all those guys that are basically have their fingers in the Dominion election software pie. I mean, these guys were the ones behind the scenes that were interfering with these Dominion election machines. And this has been confirmed. It's been confirmed at the election hearing that at the Arizona election hearing that happened just the other day, and also just recently at the hearing at the Michigan hearing in which Jenna Ellis and Rudy Giuliani were present. Go and watch these hearings because they outlay all the evidence. Okay, this is a coup. This is a very elaborate coup. And the media is turning a blind eye to it. The media does not want to know about it. In fact, this was confirmed by James O'Keefe from Project Veritas, who actually, recorded the head of CNN. He recorded the 9 a.m. briefing at CNN, right? This is a conference call, right? And they were discussing ways that they can bury what's going on in regard to Trump's legal fight. In other words, they're saying they were talking about how they were going to stonewall, how they were going to have a blackout of everything that's going on in regard to Trump's legal fight. The media bias is real, right? They hate Trump, and they have hated him for 4 years, and they are squealing with glee at the prospect of booting him out of the White House. Okay, and if you're thinking that Trump has caused all this division, that Trump is going to cause war, then you have been duped by the mainstream media. Your mind has been marinating in the mainstream media. Okay, the media is not your friend. As Trump said, the media is the enemy of the people. The media have twisted, construed, and distorted everything that Trump has said. Sure, they tell you – here's the thing about the media, Vincent, which I think is interesting. The media will tell you facts. They will tell you what happened, but they won't – they will leave key information out. So they will tell you parts of what actually happened, but they will not tell you the full story. And that is really, really, really concerning. In fact, what I think is interesting is that Huxley, the guy who actually wrote the book Brave New World, actually had a quote on that. I'll just see if I can actually bring that up. But where is it? Media bias. Yeah. So Huxley said this. He said, "Great is truth, but still greater from a practical point of view is silence about truth." Huxley says, by simply not mentioning certain subjects, totalitarian propagandists have influenced opinion more effectively than they could have by the most eloquent denunciations. Isn't that chilling?
Well, it is, and it's absolutely how Lucifer works. He opposes everything that is of God. He exalts himself above God, so he buries the truth. And Daniel, one of the other things, we're talking about China, Russia, Iran, Islam, you know, external enemies, but there are domestic terrorist activities moving all throughout this nation right now. You're watching Antifa, Black Lives Matter, different groups that are moving about. You don't know how sophisticated their weaponry really is. And if things, they were boarding up when we were in Washington, D.C. a few Saturdays ago for the MAGA Million March. It was eerie to see the boarded up businesses everywhere in Washington, D.C. And it was even eerier going face to face with Antifa as that was going on with the Proud Boys and the Three Percenters and the Oath Keepers and all that stuff. We were right in the mix of that. But we don't know. The domestic terrorism boarded those up because they were fearing Trump was going to win the election and there was going to be a backlash, right?
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. And this is what people need to understand. There is no moral equivalence between the left and the right. Okay? They were preparing if Trump won because the violence would be off the charts. That's why they boarded up. And when Biden won, it was like, oh, we can take the boards off our windows now, right? What does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Yeah.
And this is the thing, you know, and I was trying to explain this to one of my Australian friends there because they weren't really familiar with the demographic of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. And so I was trying to help them to explain to them that the Democrat Party is basically the rich elites like Silicon Valley in regard to big tech, powerful elites, globalists, all these people, Hollywood. But they also represent the victim class, right? All the minority groups, all the ones who claim victims and those who are looking for government handouts. The middle class, I'm talking about family-orientated middle class. They are predominantly Republican. That's just the truth. And in fact, that's why the Democrats try to keep young people away from marriage and family. They try to keep them in. They want to put them into a lifestyle that will keep them away from the prospect of them getting married and having kids, because then they more likely become Republicans. That's just the truth of the matter. Okay. Here's the other thing, and this is a fascinating demographical fact. The stronghold of Democrats are all in big cities. Big cities are predominantly Democrat. And I can confirm this to you. Simply go to Google Images, go to Google, hit on Images, and then type in 3D map of presidential election or presidential election 3D map. And what you will see is that you'll see the blue spikes all where the cities are. Blue spikes all where the cities are. And whereas the rural areas are just awash with red. So the people who live out in the farming communities in the heartland of America are predominantly family-orientated, religious, people who love the Lord, and these people are the middle class. This is the backbone of America. And these are the people who predominantly vote Republican. Now, what is interesting about this, because I talked about cities, right? You know what Thomas Jefferson said? Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, when we get piled upon one another in large cities, as in Europe, we shall become as corrupt as Europe. Let me read that again.
Yeah.
He says, when we get piled upon one another in large cities, as in Europe, we shall become as corrupt as Europe.
Well, you know, what you're saying right now, you have to go back in time. Cain was a city builder. You were going to bring that up?
I was going to segue into that, actually.
Okay.
Because what is interesting is that, you look, there are types and shadows of different antichrists throughout human history, okay? But the very first type and shadow of the Antichrist was Nimrod. Okay, he was the first type, of an Antichrist
world
figure.
Ruler. Yeah,
world ruler. He was the first globalist per se.
Yeah,
but he was, and by the way, Nimrod can mean one of two things. It can mean hunter of men, a man who hunts down men, but it can also mean this. It also implies that his name means rebellion.
Rebellion, lawless. Yep. Yeah.
In other words, we will rebel. Lawlessness, we will rebel.
Right.
And then he was the first one who set about urban development, building cities,
mm-hmm.
building cities. Think about that.
Yeah,
interesting. Now, one of the cities that he built was Babel. Babel was the city in which the nations rejected God's mandate to spread out and populate the earth. Instead, they came together and became as one. And they said, let's all come together and nothing will be impossible for us. And they took on a project that would reach the heavens, right? This is all going back to what happened in Genesis 3 when the serpent said to Eve, he doesn't want you to eat that because he knows that if you do, you will become like God. So the Tower of Babel is when they took on this idea that they could become God. And they basically said, let us make a name for ourselves. And that's when God broke that down. He broke their unholy unity and gave them different languages to force them to spread out across the earth, which was his original mandate, to populate the earth and to spread out the earth. Now, we are seeing that intention by God being reversed. Man is rebelling against that, and man is coming back together once again in these last days, and they are intent on becoming one, that nothing will be impossible for us, and that we're going to make a name for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those language barriers are removed now, okay? It's just interesting how it's all come back to the Tower of Babel. And we are seeing history repeat itself, as it says in Isaiah, as God himself says, I will reveal to you the end from the beginning, right? As it happened in Genesis, so it will happen again at the end of the age. Now, going back to that city thing, you know what is interesting in regard to there was a disagreement between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, okay? And Abraham said to Lot, listen, let's not argue, let's not fight. How about we just go our own separate ways? And listen, I'll do the right thing by you, and I want to give you this generous offer. You decide where you want to go. You go in that direction, and I'll go in the opposite direction. So where did Lot go? He saw that the plains of Zoar were well-watered like the Garden of Eden, and he went and he pitched his tent near Sodom.
Mm.
Mm. There's that city's connection again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I say this, and people get really offended when I say this, but it's the truth. Leftism and lawlessness go together hand in hand.
I agree.
Leftism and lawlessness is like peas and carrots. They go together hand in hand. And part of the reason is because their foundation is humanism. It's godlessness. It's atheism. Right? And these people are utopians. Remember that thing about the Tower of Babel, right? Okay. So you've got to follow this logic. So if they believe wholeheartedly that utopia is just around the corner, then what lie would they not tell, and what law would they not break to help that dream come into reality?
And that's it. That's the great question. And I want to just go back and revisit one thing. Moment. Now, people that are listening, please hear us here. This moment is very real. And it's hard to describe when you're hearing the big think tanks from reputable people saying millions of Americans will be evicted in the next couple of months. And where are they going to go? When we hear things about relocations and vaccinations and all this stuff is coming as fast as it is right now, it's like an avalanche, and it's very difficult to get out of the way. You have to already be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. There is this one thing that God is allowing for this moment, if we will take heed to it, if we will awaken to it. It is the movement, I would call it one voice. It is a sound wave that needs to be heard simultaneously. And I believe if we follow the 1 Kings chapter 1 blueprint for this moment and do what it says on December 7th at 3 p.m. Eastern time, then what will follow? Not only will Donald Trump come to power as the president, a supernatural work of God because of a prophetic act through the church, then we'll get to 1 Kings chapter 2 and chapter 3. And when you read those, it's all about now, King David telling Solomon, now that you're the real deal, now that you're in power, I want you to do away with Adonijah, do away with Joab, do away with Abiathar, do away with all the opposition. And a lot of the prophetic voices out there for years have been saying they're going to lock up Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. How many of you would love to see those people arrested and put in prison or sent away? Well, if 1 Kings chapter 1 is fulfilled, there is the potential or the potential for 1 Kings chapter 2 and 3. To see these people, absolutely, the opposition taken out of the way. Now, what would that mean for this country and the nations of the earth? I don't know if it's going to happen, Daniel. I just know that this is the strategy. I don't know anybody else that dreamed a dream over a year ago about this moment and prayed about it and came up with this answer. I don't know, but it's fitting right now, and we've got to get the word out for this critical moment. Don't go to sleep, church. Wake up and understand this may be the first time in a long time that the church, the ecclesia in America and around the world will have an opportunity to shift something so radical that it will change destiny. That's the moment we're at. And if we don't, there won't be a 1 Kings chapter 2. There won't be a 1 Kings chapter 1. Go ahead, Daniel, pick it up.
Yeah, look. You know, it's interesting, Vincent, how you want to do that, go down to, you know, Little Rock and do that thing. There are other movements that have the same vision that you have. There are other people that are doing the exact same thing, which are interesting.
God.
Yeah, yeah. I've noticed that. Looking around on social media, there are other people that are saying, you know what, we need to get together and we need to get into our capital cities and we need to cry out to God.
Wow. Praise God.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Well, I think it's interesting because you know, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Okay.
So I would encourage people to do that. Prayer, and I would say fasting are the go-to things for believers in this time right now. Prayer and fasting. If you need I believe that. Listen, I do believe that Trump can get in, and I believe that when he does get in, there will be absolute pandemonium. But listen, as I said before, we are in this eye of the storm. Now, while we do have this relative time of peace and stability, we need to prepare. We need to prepare our hearts and prepare our house. Prepare our hearts and prepare our house. We need to and listen, there's nothing whack. Look, there's a lot of stigma that is actually applied to preppers per se. But what I do want to say is this. There is a lot of wisdom in preparing if worst case scenario. There is a lot of wisdom in that. There's nothing nutty about that at all, especially in the circumstances that we're living in right now. You know, this is exactly what Tammy and I have done. We have got a raging veggie garden going on in our backyard, you know, and I've taken up bread making and all these different things because these are just practical things, you know. Even if nothing happens and that we ended up having peace and stability for the next 10 years, great. But at the same time, we also need to be wise. We need to be wise and we need to hear the voice of what the Spirit is saying. And look no further than the parable of the 10 virgins and the fact that the wise virgins prepared because they knew that the night was going to be long.
And you know how long that night will be if things don't turn right now. It will be as long as the Word of God says, because what we've said for a long time, these things that are happening did not happen without God telling us they were going to happen. We have a testimony that the things that are happening on this earth right now and in this country were prophesied. They were warned. They were the day before coronavirus ever hit. Isaiah 47:11 came out. So God has a witness. We believe this, and it has the potential to get really bad, really fast. People are caught unawares, like Jesus said, like a snare on the whole earth. Daniel, it's a critical time for the history of this world and this country. At the very top of the heap, there's a lot riding on this moment. And I don't think you're going to say, well, Trump lost, Biden won, everything's back to normal now. Come on.
No.
There's no way. So we're in something really deep, brother.
Being very naive. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Look, Vincent, as I keep saying before, and I'll say it again, we need to, as Jesus said, he said, work while you have daylight. The night is coming when no man can work. Listen, I might sound like a broken record saying that, but this is the urgency of the hour. We need to prepare our hearts and we need to prepare our house. We need to make sure that we are prepared in both those things. And and furthermore, we've got to maintain our watch as much as we possibly can and pray as much as we possibly can. Watch and pray with those two things that Jesus said in Mark 13. So don't be apprehensive, rather get excited.
Amen.
Get excited. The
Good.
Bridegroom is coming.
Amen.
The wedding supper of the Lamb that's going to take place. It's going to be wonderful, yet there is a crucible. There is a crucible that we must undergo. And this is what the scripture has talked about for a long time, and we need to prepare ourselves for that.
Amen. And if we come to April 2021 and we commence the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, we've got 3.5 years, 7 months. How many people have been worn out with 7 months of footmen? Now come the horses, 3.5 years. Are you ready? That's the question. It's no longer a game. Nobody's playing. Who's right? Who's wrong? This is the real deal, folks.
Yeah.
And wake up to this reality and understand this critical moment and do something. And let's see what God will do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Daniel Seckham, all the way from Australia. Have a beautiful day, my friend. I'm so glad that you are awake and you don't have to go to bed at 3 a.m. We love you so much. God bless you. And thanks for joining me on the air today.
Thanks, Vincent. Bless you heaps. Love you lots.
Bless. Take care. Love you too, man. Shalom. All right. That's it for us. We're going to go back to Omega Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Pastor Vince. You've been watching The Watchman right here on Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and YouTube. Shalom. Stay the course. We'll see you too. God bless.